Hey Joe, how's it going?
Good, Zach. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I was just wondering, you know, you've talked a lot about trying to establish a culture with the Giants now that you come in. I guess how much difficulty are you having really getting to do that with the environment that you guys are currently coaching in via Zoom and all that? And what ways are you trying to like build camaraderie
among? I think a lot of things we're trying to build within the culture right now are showing up based in the circumstances that we have allotted to us and how hard the players are working. And that's what we're looking to build, is that, you know, culture of everyone doing whatever it takes to be successful. And right now we're seeing that across the board with our players. I'm very pleased in how they come every day prepared. I'm pleased in how they come every day with a lot of urgency. And we're getting great feedback and communication through the meetings with the players themselves. You know, as far as building camaraderie with them, you know, probably the best part of the day is when you can click on the Zoom and everyone has their, you know, screens unmuted and you just hear the guys talking across. And that's probably the best part, is, you know, it took about a week for everyone to get comfortable enough to do that. And, you know, I think they kind of realize that, you know, as coaches, we are laughing, you know, listening to them talk, and then they got a little bit more comfortable and really started breaking it down. But it's fun seeing all the personalities really emerge and the connections. Today was the first day we had the rookies in the meetings with the vets. So you could tell right away, you know, a couple guys saw some new faces, and you heard a couple, oh, there's rookies in here today. So I'm sure, you know, they'll be asking them for a joke by tomorrow.
Rock, you can go ahead with your question.
Joe, what's going to happen after this week is over? Do you have a plan, I guess, for the next phase? And have there been any discussions? I saw a report about teams discussing moving training camps out of areas where there might be stay-at-home restrictions for them.
All right, so the first part, I mean, we definitely have a plan. We're assuming right now that we're going to continue working virtually with the players. We'll wait for further clarity from the league. You know, we were told to plan through May 18th, so that's what we're doing right now. In terms of relocating, our ops department's doing a great job right now mapping out a lot of different scenarios in terms of if for some reason we have to relocate, they're, you know, making connections around, you know, the area, around the country, as to whatever we may need to do. I mean, we're waiting on direction from the league in terms of what would make decisions on that. Hopefully, in a perfect world, we're all back together in New Jersey training sooner than later, but we're planning for a lot of hypotheticals to make sure if they come up, we're not caught by surprise.
Go ahead, Rock.
What are some of the options that you've considered in terms of moving training camp? And would you do that in the spring too?
I don't know that we're going to necessarily have an option to do in the spring unless the league would give us a thumbs up on that. I think right now, just with the climate in the country, one thing we have to consider is, you know, first off, the safety of our players traveling across the country, getting on flights, traveling through cars. There's a lot of mandated quarantines that come with that as well. So the timeliness factor of getting players, having them travel, the amount of time they're quarantined, getting them in the building, can we secure that they're going to be quarantined along with all the staff and coaches that are surrounding them, whether that's in our facility or somewhere else? There's a lot of logistical things we have to consider. The first thing we talk about in all these conversations is, are we 100% certain the players are going to remain healthy and we're not putting anybody at risk? I'd have a tough time right now asking a player to fly across the country from California when I probably wouldn't be the first one most willing to throw my two sons on the plane to go the other way. So when we talk about this, we have to consider the big picture of what's going on. Look, I would love to have them in Jersey right now. I would love for, you know, us to have a set up remote campus if that's what was necessary. But getting them to the campus and making sure that while we're there, they're not exposed to anything, we have to consider that as well.
Thanks, Joe.
No problem, Tom.
Jordan, you can go ahead.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Jordan?
Not much. I was just wondering, how much have you been able to install so far? And everybody wants to know, you know, what is your offense going to look like, right? And I'm curious, how would you describe schematically kind of what your offense is going to look like? And is it something Daniel has done before? Is it completely new?
You know, I think schematically, the easiest way to describe it to kind of the outside world right now is, you know, it's going to be similarly based off what Jason's done in Dallas over the last 10 or so years. So there's going to be some similarities carried to that, but it's got to cater to our players we have on our roster currently. So right now we're installing all the base concepts and the shell of the offense. I think really you'll see throughout training camp as it takes form with the character of our team and as different players emerge. And then really along with that, you know, it's going to take shape throughout the season as well. You know, we're going to be a team that focuses a lot on game plans, whatever we have to do game by game. That may be running the ball every play or throwing the ball every play based on the opponent. But we're going to make sure that we're not too rigid in what we're doing, that we can't adapt by game plan.
Is there any similarities for Daniel regarding what he did in college? Maybe that what you're doing here, because they ran a pro style system, I believe, in Duke, or what they ran last year here with the Giants.
I won't say it's not the true West Coast system. You know, really one thing that Jason does that's really outstanding is it's really his system that's been formed over years collectively from where he's played and coached under. And those are part of the conversations we had when we talked about, you know, joining the staff, and we've talked along the way, is it's really a collection of what Jason's put together throughout his own career. There's going to be similarities to this, you know, in some regards to Daniel. And I can't tell you concrete wise what that's going to be, but there's a lot of cousin concepts, you would say, in every offense. You know, when me and Jason talk about the offense, there's a lot of familiarity in the terminology and verbiage that he uses that I've heard, you know, when I worked at Alabama under Saban. And a lot of that comes from crossover, the offense coordinators that they worked alongside in Miami together. You know, within this league, you really kind of study the head coaches and coordinators. You know, you talk a lot about coaching trees, but it really comes into the influences that you've worked under or played under. And normally, once you work under somebody, you develop your own style, but you borrow a lot from that person that you just left, whether that's as simple as verbiage, terminology, you know, philosophies on route running, pass protections, all those things there. I would say, to answer your question, there's going to be some similarities from Daniel, but I would not say this is a carryover in any way, shape, or form from his rookie year.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Lombardo,
no problem. Hey, Joe, hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah, same to you, Matt.
Thanks. Hey, I'm curious. There's been a lot of talk about how first-year coaches might be at a bit of a disadvantage with the way this whole process is playing out, not being able to get in the building and having to rely on Zoom. But as a guy who's never been a head coach before, is there anything about this that's advantageous to what you're trying to do and what you're trying to build?
You know, I think the advantage goes to who's most prepared from this point forward. And that's what we've been working on doing, to focus on what we can control. Our IT department, along with our coaching staff, did a great job with setting up, you know, the use of computers. Our players are doing a great job of accessing all the information and working with us, you know, in the allotted time. We got a lot of guys that are showing a lot of urgency to do everything they can to give themselves a head start heading into training camp. And that's really what the spring's about, you know.
Is it more difficult not knowing what training camp's going to look like? Because obviously you're coming in trying to set a foundation, build a culture, and kind of, you know, leave your mark on the team in all aspects. But not knowing what the future holds, what's that like as a coach, and what's that like for these players?
I've mapped out training camp based on the calendar leading up to our opening game right now. And any adjustments we have to make based on that, we'll make accordingly. And that's my job, to be prepared and have contingency plans for the team to operate. We've talked through different scenarios, but right now we're mapping out training camp, you know, assuming that we open up on September 14th with the Steelers. We're looking forward to that.
Thanks.
Schwartz, you can go ahead with your question.
Hey, Joe, hope all is well. You mentioned earlier on another day that, you know, it's imperative for these players to start forming bonds, and some of that has to do with themselves. How about you with the players? I mean, a head coach has to bond with the players. Is that more difficult now? And is there anything that you can share, anything you know more about certain of your players, you know, a good example of one or two of those that you didn't know just from, you know, the laptop and remote and things like that, something that you know now that you did not know?
Well, I'll tell you what, we found different ways throughout the meeting times to work together, and I found time to grab certain players out of meetings, and I'm working my way through the team as we go throughout the rest of the spring and making sure I get FaceTime with each one of these guys. You know, leading up to this, I spent some time talking to these guys on the phone, really just checking on them and their family. I had the opportunity to meet a lot of these guys in person when we were still in the building. They were still around working out. You know, I'd say one of the interesting things about this whole process is, just like we're doing right now, is as somebody else is speaking, really everybody has the freedom to look around right now and really observe how people are. So when there's an assistant coach presenting, everybody in there is also presenting themselves and how they conduct themselves in a meeting. You know, you're looking around. How's the guy set up in his house? Is it a quiet setting? How's he dressed? What's his eye focus like? Are his eyes down? Is he trying to text? And we haven't had a lot of that. We've had a lot of guys with great urgency. But, you know, you have the opportunity in this setting here to really see your players in a meeting standpoint, where they really can't hide. Right now we're on a one-by-one box on this screen, but we're all face-to-face. And you don't know who's looking at who at this time. So everything you're doing at all times is really, you know, what you're being evaluated on.
Are you taking notes on some of that as you're going through? I mean, you're sitting there wearing a hooded sweatshirt, right? So I'm sure you don't expect your players to be wearing, you know, button downs for this, right? But I mean, so how does that evaluation work? I mean, you know, just how much is too much?
Well, first off, it's my best hoodie, so I thought I was getting dressed up for the occasion, Paul. So thanks.
Let me see. What do you got? Is it a logo or anything, or no?
Just a little throw around hoodie. But I'll say this. Run that by one more time, Paul. Phrase that again so I can follow it.
Well, just, I mean, you know, obviously you're looking and you're not spying on them. Everyone knows, you know, everyone on this is also, it's open. So
I've made this clear to our players. You know, everybody's always making an impression. I can't sign on with the team and stumble through a team talk and show shoddy film and have, you know, technology doesn't work and have them think, okay, this guy's going to be okay. He knows what he's doing. We're always creating an impression. We're always, you know, forming an opinion of ourselves. But along that, let's not get confused. We're not going to evaluate a football team based purely on how they are on a computer. I mean, we can go down to Circuit City and find a great football team on a computer. But, you know, we want to make sure right now that, look, we're just trying to give the players an opportunity to learn our material, to learn our systems, to get a head start going to training camp. We're trying to be as much of resources for these guys as we possibly can. You know, we only get 2 hours a day with the vets, but we get 2 hours a day with the vets. We got to use those 2 hours as much as we can. And, you know, along the way, we've used everything the leagues allow us to use in terms of loading up playbooks and cut-ups and voiced over installs for the players to watch at their own pace on their own. So we're trying to get ahead of everything that they may need. Look, until we get on the grass, you really can't evaluate a football player. You just can't do it. And I've made it clear to our team, you know, this spring is about learning. This spring is about building a base. So when we get there in training camp, we can play fast and we can play aggressive. You'll be evaluated in training camp. Right now, we're learning. Now, along the way, you are making an impression.
Thank you.
Art, you can go ahead with your question.
Hey, Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Art. Good. You?
Doing all right. Thank you. I'm just curious, along the lines of, I mean, I know we've talked about the coaches and the players and being in this system virtually. But from your perspective, player to player, and I know the rookies just mixed in with the veterans now, but if you were in the building and circumstances were the traditional format, you would see leaders emerge, guys kind of looking at the veterans or even looking at some rookies who kind of set the tone. I'm curious from your perspective, if not now, maybe in, you know, in days to come, will you take it upon yourself to reach out to some guys and say, you know, okay, are you guys getting together? Are you, you know, it's not just playing video games. It's, you want to see who emerges as like the leaders of this team, or is it too early?
You know, I'd say the interesting thing is early on in this process, I think we all had a lot of question marks in terms of how are we going to see relationships and how are we going to see leadership and how are we going to see us emerge? You know, naturally it all is coming to the surface. You can see a lot of guys through interactions and meetings. You can see who's going to take the reins and start the communication. You know, you can identify with different players who's standing out in front and organizing some extra communication exercises on their own within the time. So I'd say you still have the ability to see who's stepping out in front. You know, one thing is, as I'm talking to these players individually and asking them for direct feedback as well, you can tell how engaged and really invested they are in the program by the answers they give you. And it's been very telling, and I'm very pleased with the way our players are working right now. You know, whereas on the front end, there was a lot of talk about what we can't do. I think we're finding out along the way right now is, like we always need to, is we're getting a lot done because this is the asset that we have to use, and we're finding ways to use it. And these players, look, they're inventive now. They're inventive. I mean, they're going to find different ways to get together with each other and socially interact. They're going to find different ways to get together and study with each other and get caught up on material or help each other out with notes, you know, maybe even more so now than some other springs in the past, because the reality is everyone's situation is different around the country, you know, and you've got to find, you know, what to do in your free time. Things still aren't open up everywhere. Every state's a little bit different, but generally speaking, you know, the country's still closed down for the most part. So these guys are in areas where they have a lot of free time on their day where there's not a lot to do necessarily.
Thanks.
Bobby, go ahead with your question.
Hey, Joe, thanks for doing this. I know you accepted the limitations that you have in this situation, but all things considered, do you think that you as a first-time coach, first-year coach, for lack of a better expression, should get a pass this year based on the inability to kind of be normal, probably for the entire season?
All I'm focused on doing is everything to put our team in position to play their best ball right now. I'm not thinking about anything outside the scope of that. Whatever we have to work with, we're going to make work for us. You know, we're going to get in a training camp and we're going to go ahead and make sure we get these guys in the grass and put them through it, identify the best 53 for our team, and then the best, you know, actors for game day and go forward with it. So we're not thinking about what we don't have right now. That's not an option. We're thinking about what we have access to, and every day we're focusing on what we have to do to get better. And that's my only focus right now.
Thank you.
Dougie, you can go ahead with your question.
Hey, Joe, hope all is well. Just curious, what went to the decision to claim Cooper Rush?
You know, like everyone else in the league, we're looking at the waiver wire every day. We're always trying to acquire good football players for our team. You know, the competition and training camp will sort a lot of things out. But when we see a good player out there, if we think he's someone who can be an asset to our team and come in here and compete, that's all we're considering. And he was someone that came across the waiver wire that, you know, we had known about and some had experience with him, and we thought it would be a positive move for our team.
And, you know, five quarterbacks, obviously a lot. Is the roster construction a little different now because you don't have to get on the field and have, say, a certain minimum at different positions? Can you alter how you construct it right now?
Well, you definitely can. You could have 90 quarterbacks right now because you don't have to worry about throwing to anybody. But in terms of going to camp right now, we'll address that when we get closer to camp in terms of all the position. We obviously have a template like everybody else has of the desired numbers for each position. But I think the overriding factor is you don't want to turn away a good player just to suit the numbers. So you kind of work structure practice accordingly to make sure you have as many good players in your roster as possible to compete.
Ralph, you can go ahead with your question.
Hey, Joe, thanks for doing this. Hope you're doing well. You mentioned earlier that, you know, you've got players in different areas of the country, some places where things are reopening. You know, some players could go to beaches or gyms and others can't. I'm sure you've got your own thoughts on what's safe and what's not, but are you able to give them any guidelines or restrictions on what they should and shouldn't do? And how worried are you that, you know, doing something normal, like going to a gym, could end up hurting the health of one of your players?
Yeah, I think everyone has to make their decisions based on, you know, their own circumstances, where they're at. We're concerned about the health of all of our players, though. You know, and we have a training staff with Ronnie Barnes and his guys that they have full-time access to for guidance on whether or not they should go somewhere or shouldn't go somewhere. Everyone's situation is different. The one thing the league has allowed us to do is provide some equipment to guys without access to gyms, which we've done accordingly. We've made the decision not to track workouts, as a lot of other clubs have as well this spring, for a multitude of reasons. So the biggest thing we've been able to do is just kind of provide our strength coach to be an asset that if they want to reach out and ask him questions, along with our nutritionist and training staff, the league's allowed us to upload programs and videos for them to follow if they choose to. Obviously, it's a spring. It's voluntary. Nothing's required. We just want to make sure we have any answers to questions the players may have as we go. The biggest concern for me is, without having a spring, is making sure that the players are in good enough shape coming back to practice. And that's the one thing spring is heavily beneficial for these players, is they can play football and do football movements and get in football shape before coming in and competing for a job while playing football. And as a coach, I've got to put us in the best situation possible to practice hard, to compete, and to avoid injuries at the same time early in training camp. And the new CBA laid out a lot of guidelines that's really geared towards, you know, looking out for the players early on in training camp to make sure they don't come in and just get thrown, you know, into the fire without an acclimation period. So I think that's something working through the CBA that'll help long-term with these guys, but immediately this year without having a spring. You know, biggest thing we can just keep emphasizing our players is, listen, whatever you have to do, whatever you have access to, we're all the resources you need, but let's just make sure that when we come into training camp, you know, you've given yourself every opportunity possible to be in the best shape so you can physically stay healthy, stay on the field, and compete.
Patty, you can go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Coach, how are you doing? Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Patty, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. You spoke earlier about the type of offensive system that you're installing. Can you talk a little bit about the defensive system that Patrick Graham is putting together?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I could give you the whole, it's going to be a multiple answer. Everyone says, you know, what's that mean? Probably the easiest way to describe that is you could go back to last year in Miami where Patrick was, you could follow that through the different systems he's been part of, whether it's New England. He had experience in, you know, New York and Green Bay, so there's a lot of different flavors of defenses there as well. But truly, we'll be, you know, a team that's going to be multiple by game plan, how we have to match up and attack the opponent. But the elements of the defense you can really look through what it'll closely resemble will really be the other stops that Patrick has been along his way that I've been there as well. The New England system, some of the Houston system, the Tennessee system, the Miami system, those families of defense, you know, will be the biggest influences that'll go in ours. Of course, ours will be mostly dictated by the players we have to use.
And in terms of special teams, obviously Thomas McGahee, outstanding special teams coach. I'm just wondering how much of your influence from the Patriots are you going to maybe bring to the Giants special teams?
I'll be involved with all three sides of the ball, but T-Mac is the special teams coordinator here.
Thank you.
Bruce, you can go ahead with your question.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, Bruce. How's it going?
Good. There's that Ali quote about preparation. The fight is won or lost far away from witnesses behind the lines in the gym and out there on the road long before I dance under those lights. So you were talking earlier about preparation. Is your message to your guys that no substitute for grinding now, that this hard work honestly can pay off later?
Yeah, look, there's no shortcut to success. Okay, you got to put one day, all right, with the next, keep putting together. And that's going to string together to give you an opportunity to be successful. It's all about preparation. We have to do a good job preparing physically, preparing mentally. You know, that's truly our message to the team right now is we're providing with the opportunity. We're going to be a resource for the players at this point, give them every opportunity they can to learn our system so that when we get in, we can continue to learn. But it's going to be at a faster pace in training camp, obviously. And that's when the competition really begins.
Thanks, Coach.
Ryan, you can go ahead with your question.
Hey, Joe. I put on this collared shirt to make a good first impression, but I got to go after Bruce in his shirt and tie. So, two questions for you. To follow up on what Patty said about Patrick Graham, could you just talk a little bit about how you got him? I don't think we've ever asked that. He was under contract with Miami. You know Brian Flores. How did that come about?
You know, without going too much into, you know, different conversations, I mean, we just followed the league procedure. If we put in a request to speak with them, they granted the request, and he was our top choice.
And then another defensive question, Marcus Golden, you guys used that tag on him. Yes. How did that come about? I think the Patriots are one of the only teams to use that in recent years when you were there. How did that come about, and have you talked to Marcus since you guys put the tag on him?
Without going into what we talked about, yes, I have spoken with Marcus. Look, I have a lot of respect for him as a player. He's a great person. He's a hard worker, but he's a productive player. So we have a lot of respect for him, and he's definitely somebody that we've spoke to, you know, in terms of, you know, possibility of adding to the roster. We placed the tag on him. That's something that's allotted us through the league rules, and we thought it was a situation when it came up and was available for us. That's something that we could use. But, you know, we have an interest in Marcus. We've talked to him, and we're going through the procedure right now, and we're going to let it kind of play out a little bit and see where everything shakes out.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll take two more questions, Pat Leonard and Tom Canavan. Pat, you can go ahead with your question.
Thanks, Deion. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Pat.
Two questions. One, are you preparing your players to play in front of an empty stadium, in front of no fans? And if you have to do that, how do you prepare guys to do that, have the same energy, et cetera? Also, just curious from your perspective, what do you think the NFL should do? You know, do you think it's more important that we wait and start a season later so that everything can be normal? Or as a coach, is it just you wait for the ready, set, go or not? I'm, you know, curious what you feel.
I mean, as far as our approach, the league will make those decisions. I think the one thing the league's, you know, being very considerate about right now is everybody's safety, players, fans, everybody. I don't think anyone wants to play in front of empty stadiums. The fans are really, you know, huge part of this game. You know, playing in front of stadiums, that's where a lot of, you know, the juice and energy comes to on a weekly basis. But we don't have fans at practice, so we prepare them every day to play in front of, you know, without people watching. You know, if these guys have to go out, they'll be prepared for whatever the situation is. You know, but truly, we want the fans there. I mean, it would be a different atmosphere. You know, we prepare for whatever, but the fans are a huge part of this game, and we definitely want them there.
Thanks.
Canavan, you can go ahead with your question. And this will be the last question.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Good. How you today?
Good. Just two quick questions. When you talk about following up on Tom Rock's question about possibly having training camps someplace else, would you consider it being driving distance around New Jersey?
I mean, to be honest with you, if we can't practice in the facility, I would just like it to be the best setup possible, you know, and there's a lot of factors that go into that in terms of field space, training room, weight room, food for the players, room and accommodations. You know, these guys have off days in training camp as well. One of the advantages of having it at our facility is these guys have a chance to go home and see their wives and kids as well on the off days, which, look, that's a big part of it. You know, that's a big part of it. Also, as well as our training camp practices are open. It's important to me that the players get to go out there and walk off the field and see their wives and kids or girlfriends on the way off the field and spend 10 minutes of kind of, you know, keeping things in perspective before we go in there and overanalyze everything we did on the field. You know, in terms of where we go, you know, hopefully we're in the facility, and that's really what we're pushing for. If the league determines something else, you know, our ops department's in the middle of, you know, kind of just having that organized case we have to go that way. You know, we'll see what's available. And, you know, I can't really answer that. It's a hard question. It's a little bit more of a hypothetical there, you know, but I'd rather be in the facility than anywhere else.
The final question is, where'd you get the haircut?
I got some clippers and I kind of experimented a little bit on my back deck. So it took a little while. It was longer than a normal haircut. But to be honest with you, I kind of had that quarantine hair falling over my ears for a little bit. My wife cut my youngest son's hair. It looks like he got in a fight with a broken bottle. So I kind of did my own a little bit.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.